We opened this, the Lima this year with Hilchos Mezuzah. It's very important. It's very doable, and it's very, very sweet. It's, as the first Siman tells us, a mitzvah d'oraisa that's relevant to every single one of us. And we'll talk about more about that in a moment. And we've seen as well in Reish Pehe the schar that appears in the Chumash, the schar that's merumas in the Gemara. And it's easy to do in the sense that if you do it right once, you invest yourself in doing it right once, and assuming you don't move for a while, so, most of the time the mitzvah will continue in an almost effortless fashion. The lima not only is the performance of the mitzvah, both critical and, if done properly, relatively straightforward. But the lima that we've already begun to see just a little bit is it's a very, very sweet lima. It's a relatively brief. It's a very self-contained. That's true both in the more or less in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. And as we're going to see as things unfold, almost every detail comes up halacha l'maisa. It's a relatively rare. In Lurie Hilchos Shabbos, one of the halachas, there are things that cases that come up and then cases that don't come up. Depending on where you live, what you do, different things will or won't be relevant. Hilchos Mezuzah in a typical home, the vast majority of the sifim are going to play themselves out in some way. And not only that, but they will play themselves out in an intertwined way. You're dealing with Malacha Shabbos, so either this action is this Malacha, or it's that Malacha, it's this off, or it's that told. And once in a while, in every case, it involves more than one Malacha. But usually dealing with any one situation, you're dealing with one segment. You're looking at, as Hilchos Mezuzah unfolds, we'll see, you're looking at anyone, not just looking at anyone house, looking at anyone door can involve, will typically involve multiple sifim. And everything, there's a lot of interplay of Adinim, which is why it's a sort of thing that's very hard to look up on the spot if you haven't learned Halach as well. Because you don't know where to start. And every case is sort of multi-layered. And if you learn the Adinim well, as I mentioned to several of you, I still remember my first experience learning Hilchos Mezuzah with a chevra. We had gone out, must have been like 16, 17 years ago. I think it was the first YU summer call in Boca Raton. There was a Boca Raton community call. It was the first summer call, I believe. And we learned Hilchos Mezuzah, four fellows from Yeshiva. And for months afterwards, like, they're coming over, like, it changed the way they looked at space. As they went to a simcha, I didn't get to hear who the chasna was. I got to hear, and they noticed this doorway, and it was fascinating. They took pictures, and they drew diagrams. It totally changes. Think about the language of the Rabban Halachic man. You look at the same reality totally differently. It will extend the way we look at all sorts of things. It's very, very beautiful, self-contained, and very absorbing, and very, very sweet to lima. Just to talk for a moment before we jump into Siman Reish Pehe, just to get a sense, the Seder of the Shulchan Aruch and our own Seder. The Seder of the Shulchan Aruch really breaks down into four segments. There's the Psicha to Hilchos Mezuzah, which is Siman Reish Pehe, with a focus on the importance of the mitzvah. Then the next two, Siman Reish Pehe, Vav Reish Pehe Zayin, talk about when and where are you, whether you're Chayv and Mezuzah, which doors, which rooms, which sorts of spaces will carve Mezuzah, why not. Reish Pei Ches, Reish Pei Tes is sort of stage three. Now that once you've determined where you have to put mezuzah, so the question is, how do you go about putting mezuzah? Reish Pei Ches focuses on how you write a mezuzah, and that we're going to largely skip. Reish Pei Tes focuses on how you go about doing kaviyas of mezuzah. And finally, Reish Tzadi Aleph, sort of segment four, the last two simanim, are additional details. We're going to, number one, as I mentioned to a number of fellows, and I was on the first, the type of the first Maram Kamos, we're going to be focusing on Hilchos Mezuzah, but not the Safras part. So we're not going to be learning most of Reish Peches, so we're not going to learn Reish Tzadi, and also right after Reish, the other change, right after Reish Pehe, I want to move sort of to the center of Hilchos Mezuzah, we're going to move right after Reish Pehe to Reish Peches. Some fellows, I think, are already starting B'charusa. And then from there, everything else is going to fall into place. Al Hasedim. You open up Shulchan Aruch. The dinim obviously come from the psukim, which is why the Shulchan Aruch opens. There's a mitzvah saseh, one of the Tariq mitzvahs. L'chtov parasha Shema v'ayim shamoa u'lakav am al mezuzah Pesach. Mitzvah d'areisa to write those parashios, those two parashios. The Shach points out, we know those are the two parashios because those are the two parashios where the psukim say l'chsav tam al mezuzah v'esecho v'sharecha. Tanam understood, as we know, that those instructions at the end of those parashios are self-referential. You have two paragraphs in Chumash. You have four paragraphs in Chumash where the Torah says you have to have tefillin. That's referring to those four paragraphs. The two paragraphs in the Chumash says you have to write this Amazuz Mesech V'Sharecha. It means those are the two paragraphs. That's what Chazal understood. That's already implied in the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Chavches in Maseches Menachos. That number that there are two parashas, and that the two parashas are Ma'akvos Zuvazu. That if you write one parasha without the other, it's not that you had half the mitzvah of mezuzah. You have no kiyum whatsoever. And the Rambam makes a point more than once in Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Mishnah has a list of several such mitzvahs. That Mishnah you saw has a number of different areas of halacha where you have multiple parts that are ma'akva zuzu. The four parshas in Tefillah ma'akva zuzu, two parshas in mezuzah ma'akva zuzu, the seven kinei ha-menorah ma'akva zuzu. You only have, you lost some parts of your menorah, so you're not going to mekayim anything unless you have all seven. The Mishnah, that's the end of the third parak of Maseches Menachos. The first Mishnah, the fourth parak, Parak HaTcheles, has the reverse. Situations where you have multiple parts and they're not Ma'akva Zuzu. And the opening case, of course, is Tcheles and Lavan. You can have Tcheles without Lavan and Lavan without Tcheles, but better of it to have ideals when you have both, but and many people in this room probably are still relying on wearing the lavan without the tchelas, relying on that Mishnah that we passed against Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, that if you have that tchelas not makeves with lavan, there is a kiyum in having lavan. The Rambam points out in general, tzitzis may be an exception, and we're not going to get into that right now because it's not tzitzis narrow focus, that at least in general, this distinction between ma'akva zuzu versus ein ma'akva zuzu is an indicator whether you're dealing with one mitzvah or multiple mitzvahs. Now, the fact that let's leave tzitzis aside, but the fact that esrog and lulav hadasim are rabbos ma'akvin zuazu, that if you're missing one, if you're not makayim anything by taking the other three, that's an indication that they're all one mitzvah. That there's a single mitzvah of arba minim, and the fact that the dal parshos are that's not such a chiddush because the four minim all appear in one pasuk in chumash. It's a little more mechudish, or let's say the seven kinei ha-menorah. We didn't really think that there would be a separate mitzvah to have each kana of the menorah, but tefillah and mezuzah, actually, one could have imagined otherwise, because actually seven. Four separate psukim about tefillah, two separate psukim about mezuzah, each one mechayiv a different parsha. One could have imagined that there are four separate mitzvahs. Imagine there are indications in Chazal that make it sound like maybe there are multiple mitzvahs of tefillah, maybe there are multiple mitzvahs of mezuzah. So Rambam writes, yeah, but if the Mishnah tells us that they're ma'akva zu, what that means is that it's a single mitzvah. That's what that generally indicates. It's one mitzvah with the multiple components. And that's why if you're missing, you can have a mitzvah with multiple components. Maybe not every time the mitzvah has multiple components of the ma'akva zu, but certainly if there are ma'akva zu, like tefillah, like mezuzah, or the parsha, one parsha like the other, you haven't fulfilled anything, so that's a clear indication they were dealing with a single mitzvah saseh. That's what lies behind the first word, the opening words of Hilchos Mezuzah of Sifal. It's a mitzvah saseh. It's a single mitzvah saseh. A single mitzvah saseh ma'akva zu. And the Gemara points out that Daf Lamed Daled, I believe that it's not yachal yichdeven al ha'avanim. The Gemara said, I might either have to write it on a piece of stone and you attach it to the door, and maybe you should actually write it on the door itself. So Gemara has a drasha, Gemara puts one of the Midrash HaHalacha, that has a drasha, you have to write it on klaf. You write it on klaf, just like other situations in Chumash, where the assumption is writing things on klaf, and then you take the klaf and you attach it to the doorway. Something to be aware, that we take as davar pashut, but something to be aware of is the following nuance of language that will occasionally be confusing if you're not attuned to it. And that is that the word, in Biblical Hebrew, mezuzah is a piece of architecture. In Biblical Hebrew, mezuzah is a doorpost.
That's the mashkof, and the shtei hamezuzos, and you think about the fact the parsha's bow, are the two doorposts.
In the language of Chazal, mezuzah could also mean the piece of parchment. But you could use it in two different ways. So every once in a long while, you'll see Achronim trying to differentiate between, you have to put the mezuzah on the mezuzah. Sometimes that could get a little confusing which one you're talking about. You have to put the parchment on the doorpost. So every once in a long while, you keep your eyes open, posts can use the language of mezuzah ha-pesach versus mezuzah ha-klaf. Mezuzah ha-klaf is the piece of parchment. The mezuzah, what we usually call mezuzah, and mezuzah ha-pesach is the architectural, the piece of wood or of metal, whatever it is, the actual door post. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to tell us, based on Psukim and Chumash, that there's a schar of arichas yamin for taking care of the mitzvah mezuzah. So that's based on Laman Yibri Mechem Mechem, the pasuk that follows the second reference to the pasuk that follows the second reference to mezuzah and chumash. The Pesach Tshuva here raises an issue which we'll probably get to later on in greater detail. That it's a mitzvah that applies to Zechovas. The Gemara tells that being a Chovas Hadar, it's only a chiv that applies when you live in a house. If you own property that's not used, as we'll see at length in Simin Reish Pevav, it's not enough. The Mechayev of Mezuzah is both that it's the right structure, but also it has the right function. They actually live in the house, not using it at all, not using it away from Chayav Mezuzah. There's no Chayav Mezuzah. So the Pesachei Tshuva, the opening Pesachei Tshuva already gets involved in that. What if you don't live there temporarily? Well, we'll get to those details. Get those details further on. Reshechter mentioned to me many years ago that this idea of the Arichas Yamin, he said he thought that's a mocker. Sometimes you hear people talking about you got to check the mezuzah. Something bad's going on, you got to check the mezuzahs. So where did that come from? In general, Jew has to be careful to do mezuzahs properly. And the last one, the dinim, miscellaneous dinim of, or I should say, ongoing details of mezuzah, the last simon, Rish Tayyab, we'll get to that, is there are dinim of bedikas ha-mezuzah. But I said this idea that the fact that there's some tzara going on is caused specifically to check the mezuzah, he said he thinks that's really specific in a situation where someone's in danger. If you have someone in the family, someone who lives in that house, is a chol mesukan. So the psukim, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, psukim tell us that mezuzah is particularly one of those mitzvahs where there's a schar of arichas yamin. One, not the only one. Maybe you should also be careful about kibud avein. You have a chance to do a shiluch hakein. Those are some of the mitzvahs where the Torah speaks about the arichas yamin. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes, psukim talk about arichas yamin in the context of mezuzah. So if a fellow is dangerously ill, so you may want to make sure that you are fulfilling the mitzvah mezuzah. As you saw, the same Mishnah also points out not only are both parshas ma'akev, I feel ksavech and ma'akev. If it's not written properly, so you're not, even though you have a piece of parchment, it's mostly correct, but one or two letters off may spell the difference between trying and succeeding fulfilling the mitzvah mezuzah. But it's specifically, it's because of the Arichas Yom, and then as well, we'll get to in a couple of moments, Shulchan Aruch also talks, or Rama also talks about it, in terms of Shmiras HaBayis, that we will get to soon. Yeah, question?
I'm just going to ask, if sure. That's the Makor, then where do we get the additional concept of Shmira from? That's
what you said. Yeah, so when you get to the Shmiras HaBayis, that will come to. That will come to the end of soon. Now the Rama raises an interesting question here. Rama raises the question of, he says, well, even though he presents it as a sort of a counterpoint to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is building up based on the tour, so the opening topic of Hilchas Mezuzah is the Chashivas of the Mitzvah, it's so important, the Chol HaZarba, the Yaricha Yama, as Rama says, it is very important, but there still is a pecking order, there is a hierarchy of mitzvahs. Mezuzah is very significant, but there are other mitzvahs that take precedence. If you have to triage, Mikomakom, the Ein Yado Maseges, L'knos tefillin u'mezuzah, yiknet tefillin v'lo mezuzah. It's true the mezuzah is incredibly important, but so is the mitzvah of tefillin, and tefillin takes precedence. If I can't afford both, the very shaila is a reminder of the degree of affluence that we take for granted. I can't afford to own both tefillin and mezuzah. So I have to choose. Which one am I going to choose? So I should choose tefillin over mezuzah. And then in the parentheses, whoever added the parentheses to the Ramah, for notes, Ramah said that's Yerushalmi, the mitzvah shehi chobas haguf adifa. Why? Why did tefillin win and mezuzah loses? So that's because it's tefillin chobas haguf. It's actually a personal mitzvah on my body. So this shaila does not come up often nowadays, but it is very fascinating and it speaks to a number of fundamental points. Take a look at the Be'er Agra. Yeah, question?
Yeah, we say it's better to get a cheaper pair of tefillin and be able to do both.
If it would be kosher. Yeah, in other words, let's define our terms. And sometimes I could buy a very cheap pair of tefillin that may not be kosher. Right? So that obviously I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin. But if I can fulfill the mitzvah, so we're asking that the mikra din is tefillin kosher. And we typically mach, Baruch Hashem, we can afford to mach for all sorts of hidurim in the mitzvah of tefillin. So if you can afford a matov manon, but the mitzvah of tefillin, it takes precedence over the mitzvah of mezuzah, but chumras and tefillin don't take precedence over the mitzvah of mezuzah. Yeah.
So when would that case ever come up? Because mezuzah is not so expensive, is it?
Nowadays, it's like $60.
Right, so let's say I have a house with four doors. So let's say it'll be $30, $40, and I don't have enough, and it's filling to be a couple hundred dollars, and I can't afford the same. Baruch Hashem, we take a certain degree of affluence for granted. That's a reminder. The fact that we take it for granted is a reminder of some of the many brachas that we enjoy, that are very anomalous over the course of the last 2,000 years of Jewish history. The sort of sense of security that we feel, and the comfort we feel in being publicly shomer mitzvah, and the affluence that, by and large, the bulk of the Jewish community enjoys. I don't even mean extraordinary affluence. I mean the fact that we can afford to, that's a devar pashita, so we can afford both films. The vast majority of families can afford both films. And if they can't, then there'll be other families who'll be able to help out. So that's a baruch Hashem. It is a brachas. That's it. This shaila baruch Hashem is not as nearly as common in our society. And then Vilna Gaon, let's take a look at Vilna Gaon a little bit together. Vilna Gaon is uncharacteristically lengthy. He usually is a great believer in extreme terseness, but every once in a while he writes more. So he says, the Yerushalmi end of Megillah has this shaila, Philo Mezuzah Mikodemus, a very, very intriguing Yerushalmi. And a very, very lumdish Yerushalmi. So which one is called? That's the shaila that Rama is talking about. It's machlokes amaram. Ironically, it's specific Yerushalmi because it's machlokes, even though it's machlokes, both amaram are from Babel. Shmuel and Rav Huna. Shmuel started in Eretz Yisrael, but moved to Babel, and Rav Huna, as far as you know, lived his entire life in Babel. Shmuel says mezuzah kodemes, Rav Huna says tefillah kodemes. Tefillah meaning tefillah. What's the matter? And Yerushalmi explained what the Nukuras and Machlokas is. My time is a Shmuel. This is the Be'er Agras Os Dalit. My time is a Shmuel Shekein Nohegas Dem Tov Meshabas. My time is a Rehuna Shekein Nohegas Dem Fur Sheyam in the whole Chaim Midbaros. So Yishami explains that the argument is I have to figure out which is the more significant mitzvah, and each mitzvah has a quality the other one doesn't have. On the one hand, mezuzah is not limited in time. Mezuzah applies 7 days a week. Every day of the year, even Shabbos and Yom Tov. There were Tanam who thought that about tefillin also, but we don't pass in that way. We assume the Yom wear tefillin. Shabbos and Yom Tov, Chol Hamoed is Machlokes. So mezuzah is not time-bound. And on the other hand, mezuzah is limited in other ways. There are situations where mezuzah might not apply. There's certain people who don't have to have mezuzah if you're on a boat. Or you're holchei midbaros, if you're traveling in a desert. Or you're traveling in the sea, so Yerushalmi says, then you're not chayav mezuzah, but you are chayav in tefillin. You don't take your mezuzah along with you, you take your tefillin along with you. So on the one hand, on the other hand, that's machlokes Shmuel and Rav Huna. And then Yerushalmi connects that to another shaila. The other shaila is which one could be recycled or reused as the other. So if I have a mezuzah and part of it, the bottom gets fossil. So I can't use the Vahim Shemot. The Vahim Shemot got ruined. But the top half is still fine. So can I cut it off? I use the top half as a parish of Shema on my Shalrosh. Right? Or maybe vice versa. I take a Shema out of a Shalrosh and there's a lot of parchment on the bottom. So can I fill in Vahim Shemot and I'll become mezuzah? Which direction can I go? So Yerushalmi says it's Tafa HaTalya. It's the same Shalrosh. Whichever one, but Mamba Kodesh Lomar reason. So whichever one is the higher mitzvah, you can move from the lower one to the higher one, and if you have to choose which one you're going to do, you're going to do the higher one, double machlokes Shmuel and Ravun. So the Vilna Gaon says, look, I understand the psak of the Ramah well. Ramah is quite a rush. He says, it's Yerushalmi. I understand the psak of the Ramah well, because the Bavli, Yerushalmi presents as a it's a machlokes Amoraim, whether you can turn tefillin into mezuzah or can you turn mezuzah to tefillin. The Bavli presents as the Rapashit, that tefillin is a higher level, and therefore you can turn mezuzah malon b'kodesh, you can turn mezuzah up to tefillin. You can take tefillin and bring them down a notch to mezuzah. So the Vilna Gaon says, applying the psak of the Bavli to the lumdus of the Yerushalmi, so since we paskin that tefillin is a higher level than mezuzah, and therefore you can turn mezuzah into tefillin because that's malon b'kodesh. You cannot turn tefillin to mezuzah, that would be moridin. So the Yerushalmi put the two shilas together, so it makes good sense that that if you have to choose one or the other, the tefillin codes min l'mezuzah. Vilna Gaon says, the psak of the Ramah doesn't bother me. What bothers me, based on what you just said, look back to Ramah. Yeah, Daniel?
It could be, why would you assume that Malon
B'Kodesh
would be a reason to prioritize it?
Oh, yeah, so that's an interesting Hanukkah. Yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting part of the lumdus of Yerushalmi is that the Yerushalmi is assuming these two issues go hand in hand. That which one you choose and which one can turn to the other one, that the one you choose, the one which is more Mekudosh. And that both issues are driven by which one applies more broadly. On the one hand, mezuzah applies 7 days a week. On the other hand, film applies even, it sounds like, even to a traveler. The Vilna Gaon is bothered, though. He says, but I don't understand. The last line, the first two lines of the Ramah are Gevaldik. If you can't afford both, yiknat film of mezuzah. Good. The psak, I understand. The tam on davers, bizarre. The Ramah quotes, and it's not his, he's quoting the Rush. Mitzvah sheichavas aduf adifa. Why tefillin? Why do we prioritize tefillin? Why triage tefillin over mezuzah? Because it's a chovas aguf. Sounds like the mezuzah is a chovas habayis, and the tefillin I wear. So Rav Vilna Gaon said, why do Rashi have to come with their own reason? Yerushalmi gives a reason. Yerushalmi says that the rationale for that approach, which Amora was then, that was Rav Huna. The rationale is because tefillin applies even if you're traveling the sea or traveling in the desert. And mezuzah doesn't. So what do we have to come up with a new reason for? The Vilna Gaon says he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand, he gives the psak, but why do you have to dig up a new reason? Yeah, but we have a wonderful reason on our own. And even without the reason, in other words, he says, once Yerushalmi puts the two issues together, and as you said before, the Bible says we paskin that tefillin is higher than mezuzah, malon b'kodesh, so that tells me how I should paskin in terms of this. There's a longer b'kiva eger. As long as you see a very, very lengthy Rav Akiva Eiger, the Vilna Gaon is longer than he usually is, and Rav Akiva Eiger is longer than he usually is. But let me bring out one key point, and we'll add a nakuda from Rav Chaim Kanievsky in a place you usually don't look for Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And then after I'd be glad to take a question, unless it's a question just of lack of clarity.
Where did the Ramah come up with the goof?
The Ramah is quoting it from, if you look in the back in the Darkei Moshe, which is Ramah on the tour, so I believe he tells you there that it's from the Rush and he quotes from a later source, the Binyamin Zeb, but it's originally in the Rush in Hilchos Mezuzah. So the question is, why are these the Chachmei Ashkenaz coming with a new reason? What's wrong with the Yerushalmi's reason? So the Vilna Gaon says, I don't know. Okay, so Tarachian, I would have given reason. And that Rav Akiva Eiger, to jump into one key line of Akiva Eiger, Kivager says, I don't think, if you read the Bir Agah, this is a rarity, I'm not sure if, who put this in, the Prince Sam Magia, some editor must put this in. In the Vilna Gaon itself, the front it says, Vayein Chidushim Kivager. The Vilna Gaon didn't write that, that much I can tell you. But some publisher wanted to put in a footnote, he's looking at Kivager's Vilna Gaon's Kasha, look to the left of Kivager, he answers that Kasha. And what he says essentially is they weren't giving a new reason. That is what the Yerushalmi means. In other words, usually Chovas HaGuf means on my body. Tefillin, I put on my arm, I put it on my head. Whereas the mezuzah, you know, I'll put it up with my hands perhaps, so I don't have to touch it, and ultimately it's going to stay in the door, it's not going to stay on me. That's a simple reading of the language of the Ramah. Rukideya suggests, he doesn't mean it literally Chovas HaGuf, he means a Lavdusha sense, it's an absolute obligation. And for that, it's worth appreciating a little more of what that Yerushalmi means. Let's go back to Yerushalmi for a couple of moments. Yerushalmi had said, you remember, that mezuzah has the advantage. In a certain sense, mezuzah is more universal, and different sense, tefillin, different dimension, tefillin is more universal. So in the dimension of time, mezuzah is more universal because it applies 7 days a week, it applies in Yom Tov. On the other hand, tefillin, Yerushalmi had said, applies to Mefarsha, what was the language? But I'm going to quote it. It was Holchid, thank you, Holchim, Midbars, Mefarsha, Mefarsha, Yam, Holchim, Midbars. People who are traveling in the sea, people traveling in the desert. Where, what does that mean? I mean, it applies to certain people, applies to certain times. What does that mean? So the stipler, the one piece he has in the Sefer Menachos about Mezuzah, I think it's the only piece, he talks about a different applies that appears later in Resh Pei Vav, that you're not chayim mezuzah on a boat. So why are you not chayim mezuzah on a boat? So Rambam says, because it's not diras keva, it's too arai. It's not a permanent enough way to live. So what does that mean? So then the disciples I was talking, what does that mean? Let's say I'm leaving a boat for a long time, you know, the crew quarter or the captain's cabin, where the passengers may come and go, but people who work in the boat, who will live there for months at a time, are they also part of mezuzah? Sounds a little more kavua. So he says, B'ni Chaim, near where you are, we know as Chaim Kanievsky, he says his son Chaimo pointed out to him that the Rambam quotes this in a different place as well. In addition to Hilchos Mezuzah, where he doesn't really explain much, he quotes, the Rambam also quotes this din in the beginning of the last parak of Hilchos Brachos. Parak Yudalef of Hilchos Brachos is about Birkas HaMitzvos. And then near the very beginning of that parak, he starts, in order to explain which mitzvahs require a bracha and which don't, which is a large conversation we shown him have, not every mitzvah calls for a bracha. The Rambam develops a little bit in terms of the categories. We need some apparatus. We need to talk about categories of thought. What are the categories of mitzvahs? So one categorization he develops, he says, one way of looking at mitzvahs is, are they mitzvahs harashus or not? Mitzvahs harashus does not mean optional, but it means contingent. A mitzvah that's obligatory, but only under certain circumstances. So for instance, in the mitzvah in the Torah that we read very recently, if I hire a worker, so I have to pay him the day that the salary is due. I can't push it off. Does that apply to everyone? Well, it's an obligation if you hire a worker, but if I never hire a worker, I never have that mitzvah. Once I hire a worker, then it's a chiyuv. It's not like an option to pay the guy on time. I'm a chiyuv to pay the guy on time, but only if the circumstances, only the tanoim apply. So that's what Rambam refers to as a mitzvah rishos. It's a chiyuv, only under certain circumstances. And Rambam says, mezuzah is a mitzvah rishos as opposed to tefillin, which is not, because he says, because after all, a Jew could live his entire life in a tent, I believe he says there, or a boat, and not be chayv in mezuzah his entire life. You go your entire life without hiring a worker, never have mitzvah yom titan schar. You go your entire life living in a tent or a boat, and never be chayv in the mitzvah mezuzah. That's fascinating. Now we know if a fellow sleeps on a bench in the park, he's not in a bias at all. So obviously he's not chayv in the mitzvah of mezuzah. Nebuch is reduced to being homeless. But this is interesting. I have a home, but it's a boat. It's a tent. I can live there my entire life and not be chayav in mitzvah mezuzah. That's what the stipler quotes from his son, Chaim Kanievsky, that apparently it's not the patur of a boat, or for that matter, a tent, it's not that I'm going to be living there temporarily. The keva, it's called Diras Haroi, but apparently because it's, even if I happen to live there for a lifetime, but a home which is mobile, a home which can move, is by definition less grounded, less set. It's not kavu enough. But it's not a question of how long I plan to live there. So now let's take all of that. We'll talk some more about Diras Keva when we get to Siman Reish Pei Vav. But for now, let's take that core and bring it back here. Now, when you look at the Yerushalmi through the lens of that Rambam, the Rambam has quoted, the Rambam is giving you Kedarko. The Rambam didn't write a Perish, but you learn a lot about how the Rambam read a Bavli Yerushalmi by looking at how he quoted. In his mind, he's just reciting it. He's just quoting the Bavli Yerushalmi, but you see how he understood it from the way in which he presents it. So through the lens of that Rambam, the Yerushalmi is beautiful and very fundamental. The Yerushalmi is saying, on the one hand, mezuzah is stronger because it's not limited by time. On the other hand, it's not that while I'm traveling, I can't take my mezuzah with me. Oh, you happen to be traveling to a desert, so you're not going to have mezuzah until you get to where you're living. No. The point is, it's a way of saying, whether it's a short-term, long-term, the point of people who are traveling in the desert or people who are traveling through the ocean, the point is that if you live in an ohel, because what are you living in the desert? A tent. What do you live in when you're in the sea? A boat. Those places aren't chayav mezuzah. In other words, the Yerushalmi is saying fundamentally, on the one hand, mezuzah is not time-bound, but on the other hand, it is a contingent mitzvah. It is a mitzvah sarashos. And that's why the Rambam took it as the paradigmatic example of this category, because that's what Yerushalmi is saying. On the one hand, it's not a mitzvah zman grama, but it is a mitzvah sarashos. So the question, Machlok Samaram, was, which is a more fundamental category to determine which is a higher mitzvah, a lower mitzvah? So that's why Chobos HaGuf is, it's another way of referring to this very fundamental. In fact, it happens to be when you're in the desert, you're putter. How would you term that Chobos HaGuf? Yerushalmi is something more fundamental. Yerushalmi is a mitzvah sarashos. It's a mitzvah applies 7 days a week, but only if you're in those conditions. As opposed to tefillin, which applies to everyone. That's what we call chavos haguf. Not that it's on your body, but it's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which applies. I'll call upon him regardless of circumstance. There's no way to say I'll change the facts on the grounds that I'm putter. Yes, a person who is sick is temporarily putter, but I can't opt to be in a category of a person who is not chayiv in tefillin. And the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, by the way, just to sort of wrap this up, Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out a fascinating nafka mina in how you translate Chobos HaGuf will be other mitzvahs. Now, there are other mitzvahs where perhaps they are, I'll call it shofar. Shofar or mezuzah, imagine. Shofar is half a mezuzah. So, I'm living here for the next 2 months. I can be your El in Tishrei, and I'm gone. So I don't have any mezuzahs with me. I can either spend the money on buying mezuzahs I'll use for the next 2 months, or I won't buy the mezuzahs, instead I'll buy myself a shofar. So if you say, or let's say, shofar versus tefillin, is shofar a chobos haguf? So if you say, like the simple read, the Vilna Gaon read, it's not a chobos haguf. It doesn't have to be on my body, I just have to listen to the sound. In that case, it's like mezuzah. But if you read Chobos HaGuf the way Rabbi Akiva Eiger read it, it's a mitzvah that applies al kapanim. It's not a mitzvah sarashos. If you're male, it applies regardless of whatever I can choose to act in a way that I will be pater from the mitzvah of shofar. It's not like mezuzah. It applies al kapanim if I fit into that the category. But that's a fascinating discussion. It all centers around this question Which again, for us, Baruch Hashem comes of the actual Shiloh, comes up rarely, of if I cannot afford both tefillin and mezuzah, which one should I prefer? Yeah, question, Tyler.
Today, so are we saying that if you have a vacation home that you live in for 2 weeks in the year, let's say, and then you have your, during the year you live in an RV, a beautiful RV, you need
to
have
a
vacation
home,
but not the RV?
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to it more. We'll get to Simreish Pei Vav. But at least in principle, if you live in a trailer park, and you sort of like dry dock, you know, as you put your RV up on cinder blocks, at some point post can say you've done enough, or you dry dock a boat, so then already you've made it more kavua. But if the RV is still on the ground, you just parked it, and you put down the little legs, but if it says wheels, it's on the ground, you could at any time, you know, hook it up and head off. You are putter from mezuzah in the RV. Yeah, that's the same as a tent. Even better than a tent, like a boat. And the tent is a chiddush, because a tent, it can move, but when you're living in it, it can't move. RV is even more movable. It's movable like a boat, that it can be moved even while it's still, nothing has to even change. So that's so the Yitaka would, according to that Rambam, I think that's how I passed him, you would be.
Does that make you kind of more teva then? Because you don't have to leave the house for the move, so you really still live in the house. Most of the time, you'd have to leave.
Ah, okay. Maybe. Yeah, I guess you could look at both ways. But in other words, in the state that you're living in it, it is mobile.
But that makes you able to live in it more.
Correct. Lamaisa, both of them, the Yerushalmi and the Rambam, assume that both of them are prophets. So, whichever one you think is more humble or hell. But yeah, it's an interesting question. Yeah.
What's the definition of keva? Like, if I go to a vacation house for like 2 days, as opposed to 2 weeks, like, do I need a vacation?
Great question. This is the danger of Sidur Reish Behei, which is you start a lot of things. So it's an excellent question. It's going to come up both in Reish Pei Vav, where we get to, Reish Pei Vav deals a lot with what sort of dira is Machayev Mezuzah, and one of the criteria that we're looking for is dira's keva. And then it's going to come back in Reish Sadi Aleph, the last thing we're talking about, rentals. But the short answer is, and we'll get to this great detail, if I own the place where I'm living, so even if I live there for a day, if I buy an investment house, I'm flipping it, but I'm going to sleep there overnight, but if pashtus, I have to put mezuzahs. It might be, you have to decide whether you want to sleep there overnight or not. If you rent for a short-term lease, less than 30 days is not chayav in
Correct.
But then there's more detail about the 30 days or more, but we will hold off. Let's hold off for now. Do you want to be mindful of time? I apologize if we'll take more questions after, because that's why I want to end on time. But I'm more than glad to hang around afterwards for more questions. Let's spend a couple of minutes. Just say, looking at Sif Beis. Sif Beis, by the way, is a great example. Before you even get into the content, Sif Beis is a great example of how if you just started your Limud L'Shulchan Aruch, you're going to miss a world of context. And I mentioned this when we were getting started with the Limud. And the guys who have already been learning this Limud last year, you know that often when you learn Shulchan Aruch, just sort of as a kitzur sefer, so a lot of things seem out of context, that's because Shulchan Aruch wasn't meant to be the beginning of the story. Shulchan Aruch was written by Yitzchak to be the end of the story. He, in his Beis Yosef on the tour, he gives you the whole sugya. Even better is actually, you see what Beis Yosef quotes and open up and look inside and learn through the Gemara, see the Rishonim, and then puts the whole picture together. And then Shulchan Aruch is meant to be like the last line. Beis Yosef will give you a paragraph or two or three, here's the whole sugya, Gemara, three Rishonim, And then the bottom line, Shulchan Aruch says, by the way, we passed him like X. I mean, you just look at Shulchan Aruch alone, without the context of the sugya that appeared in the Beis Yosef, so then all of a sudden things, it's sort of hard to figure out why things belong. So this is a great example. Sif Aleph, if you understand, is, the opening to the mezuzah. And then remember, if you had just Shulchan Aruch out in the Ramah, you look at Sif Beis, it's sort of like, so it sticks out like a sore thumb. You're giving it one random din. Oh, by the way, the place you put the mezuzah is in the Tefach HaChitom. And if you have a deep doorway, this one's pretty narrow. We'll get to know the details of this in Reish Pei Test. But in a typical doorway in the northeastern United States, so you can put the mezuzah in the center,
The doorway is less than two tefachim wide. So you can set the mezuzah, you get the look that you want, and still within the first tefach going in. This door is different, well, we'll get to that when we get to Reish Patas, because this one all swings out. We'll talk about that. But if you have a deep doorway, let's say you have like more of a between the living and the dining room, maybe it's like an 8-9 inch deep doorway. So the din requires, again, we'll get to the details in Reish Patas, yeah, you're supposed to put in the first tefach of the width going in, rather than center. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, it seems like a bizarre, it's an important din. There are 1,000 dinim, hundreds of dinim hilchos mezuzah. Why does this one get the yichus of being in Siman Reish Pei Hei, especially if it's going to appear again? If you saw the context, then you understand. Well, if you learn from the Torah and the Beis Yosef, then you know the reason why we're calling this din is because it speaks to two of the issues, and the truth, L'chaora speaks to two issues in terms of the theme, the themes of mezuzah. Because the Gemara, that Gemara that we looked at in Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis talks about two different reasons for Nesina Petach V'Chitzon. One of them is what the Torah quotes, that it relates to the fact that the mezuzah provides a certain shmira to the home. And it sounds as though, from the Gemara, like the shmira will be whatever area is encompassed within the, spatially within the mezuzah. So the further out you can move the mezuzah, the more space is encompassed by this zone of shmira. Now what's interesting... I'm sorry? Yeah. Now the what's interesting is the other reason is Kadesha, that you want to bump into the mitzvah earlier. You want to meet the mitzvah earlier. What's the significance of that? So I think this speaks to the two themes. The Ramah quotes Maril, this idea of touching the mezuzah. Maril quotes it from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph, the story, if you take a look, is the story of Unkel Sager, the famous Agadita, that he was with part of the family, the imperial Roman family, and he came to Eretz Yisrael and was taken by Yadus, ultimately becomes a Ger, and then the emperor sends Roman troops to bring him back to Rome, and part of the longer story is he touches the mezuzah, and then they ask, what was that all about? Then he begins to explain that Kadosh Baruch Hu provides shmir, unlike the imperial guards, they're on the outside guarding the emperor's on the inside. By us, we enjoy the opposite. Kadosh Baruch Hu was on the outside guarding us. But they're very taken by that. And the conversation began by him touching the mezuzah. Now, in the context of the Gemara, it sounds like that was just a ploy, this is a device, because those, that was a set of guards that had been instructed not to engage him in conversation. So you need to do something that would get them off their guard, so he touches the mezuzah, and that they forget in the moment that they're not supposed to speak to him. Maril understood, but there's more to it than that. It's something fundamental, and the touching the mezuzah somehow almost like activates or highlights the shemira of the home. Now, what's interesting is, Ramad talks about the touching. The Chayyadim mentions the kissing the mezuzah as well. But I would note that the Rambam that you looked at, that closing Rambam in the Hilchos Mezuzah, the very end of Perek Vav, talks about the other aspect of Mezuzah, is that it transforms the most banal of activities, the most mundane of activities, walking from place to place. Something that we do probably hundreds of times, not thousands of times a day. But we typically do with utter thoughtlessness. What could be less meaningful than room from room A to room B, walking inside, walking outside? Rambam writes so dramatically, when you have a mezuzah, obviously you've transformed walking from place to place into this like incredibly powerful, deep, you're coming face to face with all the themes in the mezuzah. It talks about Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Ekeh Hashem Echad, and Avas Hashem, the next pasuk in mezuzah, and he talks about how you're going to come in contact with those ideas every time you walk through a door, that miyado olas b'derech meishar. It's going to, over time, transform how I act. If I'm reminded, and I would say like this, imagine, let's be less ambitious, but imagine 1 out of 10 times that I walk by mezuzah, I touch mezuzah. And actually, one of the 10 times I touch the mezuzah, I actually think that gets me to think about Emunah Kadosh Baruch Hu. If 1% of the times I walk through a doorway, I spend a couple moments thinking about Yichud Hashem and Abbas Hashem, the cumulative effect over time is massive. And that's what the Rambam says. Rambam is fancy. He says, Miyad Hu Holich Bader. It's like automatic. Menela. Yeah, because the cumulative impact of again and again and again and again being pogeya b'yichud Hashem v'ahavaso over time, even 1% of my walking through doorways are moments of his bonus. That's over time. That's profound. That's profound. And that's the other. It could be this brings us back to the close with that din with which the Shulchan Aruch chose to close this opening siman nisinasa b'tefach hachitzon. It could be the two reasons for it capture these two major themes. One theme of the Shmiras HaBayis, as Unkel's Akilas HaGera teaches us, and the other theme of being Pogei B'Mitzvah, it could be that what the Rambam is explaining that Halacha in the Perek Vav, it wouldn't mean to be Pogei B'Mitzvah, means to be Pogei in the ideas of the Mitzvah. We want to get to that as soon as possible. It's so powerful, that's why it's supposed to be in the Tefach HaChitam. Yashikal Chavra?